My dear friends in Christ, I felt pleased and definitely honored that Father Benedict Hughes asked me to deliver the eulogy at this burial for Milton Nelson. And I want to begin by offering, on behalf of the clergy, the religious, the seminarians, and from myself, sincerest condolences to the closest family members, to his brother Stephen Nelson, to his children, Kathy, Daniel, Teresa, to the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and to all of you who knew him and were fellow parishioners. We lay to rest today a deeply devoted parishioner of Mary Immaculate Queen Parish, who also was a very loyal supporter of our religious congregation, the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen. My experience, or history, you might say, with Milton goes back to 1988, when I was the young priest there assigned to Queen of Angels Parish. And ironically, I was being reassigned right about that same time in April of 1988 to another parish, one in Ohio actually. And Milton had just joined the traditional Catholic parish there. So I didn't get to know him very well at that time. It was more like hello and goodbye. He very deeply and completely embraced and accepted the gift of faith. The gift of faith that made him want to be a traditional Roman Catholic. And this is something that we must not take for granted, my dear brethren, the gift of faith, to be able to see the teachings of Christ and say, I believe. I don't understand everything fully. Obviously, our Catholic faith has mysteries, but it is a grace. It is a gift from God to be able to accept all that. And just because it's given in an unmerited way doesn't mean it doesn't deserve our great gratitude, our greatest gratitude. But this gift of faith for Milton, and I got to know him quite well over the years, he shared with me how he converted in his teenage years. I believe he had a very bad accident when he was about 14. He nearly died. And somehow, in that whole occurrence, he became a Catholic. He joined the Catholic faith. He must have been baptized. He received extreme unction because he was in danger of death. And he said, he loved to repeat things in Latin, in articulo mortis. And obviously it helped because he went on to live a long and productive life after that. But as I said, he loved his Catholic faith. He loved tradition. He loved Latin. And coincidentally, or perhaps providentially, he passed on the day that we begin the Chair of Unity Octave, where we pray for the conversion of non-Catholics to the faith. Every year, from January 18th to January 25th, a special week of prayer. Why? Because it is the church founded by Jesus Christ, made necessary for our salvation. And that was the day, as I said, the first day of the octave, that God called him to the next life. I remember him becoming quite apostolic, sharing his traditional Catholic faith with others. You could truly say he was an ebullient member. He was fervent. He was enthusiastic about having found a traditional Catholic parish to which to belong. I remember his attending Fatima conferences. He made it a point to go every year, and then he absolutely loved meeting not only the clergy, but the sisters. And this is no small accomplishment. He memorized the name of every single CMRI sister. I think they even gave him an award for it. He loved the ladies in blue. He reverenced them for their special calling as religious women, as brides of Christ. And then in 1999, I believe it was, or maybe it was right after the millennium, the beginning of the millennium happened, after a life spent in the aerospace industry, raising a family, being a diligent provider, he moved, or perhaps to quote him, he escaped to Northern Idaho. Did I say how much he loved his Catholic church family? Yes, he loved his family so much, but this family, his parishioners, his fellow parishioners, were a church family to him. And not only could I see his devotedness to this parish, to parishioners, to the clergy, to the religious here, he also came for about 10 years came every Sunday, or nearly every Sunday, to help us chant Vespers in Latin at Mount St. Michael, where I am the pastor. And some Sundays, many Sundays actually, it's pretty standard, but some Sundays were special feasts, very intricate. We had to practice a lot. And he loved to sing the praises of God. Yes, that's one of his many gifts, the gift of music. And of course, his voice filled the church. I think he could out-sing 10 people at times. But he wanted to chant God's praises. He joined us clergy there at Mount St. Michael. Sometimes it was a very small chanting group. We had only maybe 4, 5, 6 sometimes. But he was always happy to be there joining with us. Often we got to, he stayed for some supper. And as I said, I got to know him very well. He shared so many things with us. And then after dinner, he would go back to his little getaway place, his home in northern Idaho, here in the hills of Rathdrum. So it was the frailties of age that made him move to Tennessee to be with his two daughters there. But in spirit, he never left. And he will rest here among his beloved parishioners here of Mary Immaculate Queen Parish, those living, those departed, those laid to rest there in Mount Calvary Cemetery. So much did he consider himself a part of this parish that he would send his tithe here. And he told Father Benedict, "I'm a parishioner at large." At burials, my dear friends in Christ, we are reminded, as we often are as Catholics, of the four last things. We're often told to read about them, we're instructed about them, sermons are given on the four great realities, three of which we know will happen, one of them we hope and pray and try with every fiber of our being that it will not happen to us. But those four last things are death, judgment, heaven, hell. Needless to say, it's that fourth one that we must make every effort to make sure we do not end up there, but rather earn our heavenly reward. Yes, we have to put forth those efforts without the strife, without the striving, without the effort. What is there for us to be rewarded for? This is the purpose of our life here on earth, to labor for our salvation, to even labor for our sanctification. We will be called indubitably to the next life. And one of my favorite sentences upon which to reflect is, as we live, so shall we die. So every day is a gift that we must carefully use. Today is that gift to make sure that we are doing God's will, that we are practicing our faith, that we are keeping the state of grace, that all-important state of grace. The Catholic Church gives us so many means to preserve and grow in this state of grace, and for that we shall be rewarded, the life of God within us, which we first received in baptism. Let us take advantage of these blessings, of these means of grace. It has been said in more than just a few spiritual reading books how attending Mass, as much as it benefits us after we die and Masses are offered for us, even more when we are in this life. So how many graces we can obtain through the use of the means of grace which Jesus has provided for us through his Holy Church. And I know Milton treasured those means of grace. He used them. It was truly a blessing to know Milton Nelson, a faithful, fervent fellow member of the mystical body of Christ. Not just those that are parishioners, but really every Catholic, we are brothers and sisters in this mystical body. And we were uplifted by his good example, by his cheerfulness, and yes, by his self-deprecating humor. I just have to share this with you. My father is buried there in Mount Calvary Cemetery. He died in an accident in 1980. And directly diagonally from him, touching corners, is Milton's grave and my father's grave. And Milton, when he first told me about this purchase of the grave plot, he said he could just hear my father saying, "There goes the neighborhood." You know, today is the feast of St. John Bosco, a very saintly priest, special patron of Catholic education. And the epistle for today, which I read at Mass, was "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. That's also the epistle for the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. And I find this to be more than just a coincidence that he's being laid to rest on this feast of a saint who was known for his cheerfulness and his enthusiasm. And he used that gift, those gifts, to attract countless youth to Christ, to living a holy life. And he founded the Salesian order. Many of them would join that as priests and brothers. And so the church puts that epistle so fittingly in the feast of St. John Bosco, and as I said, read earlier today. The preface for the Mass tells us life is changed, not taken away. How beautiful a saying. Yes, we have lost the physical presence, the physical sensation or awareness, but through faith and through the bonds which we have in the communion of saints, that connection is still there. It's a spiritual connection. It's not a sensible connection, a spiritual, very real connection. And so we say to Milton today as we lay him to rest, we shall not forget you. We will fervently pray and offer suffrages for you so that your purgatory time, whatever it may be, God knows, may be as short as possible. And let us always be devoted to the souls in purgatory. That is a hallmark, I believe, of a fervent Catholic, one who often helps the poor souls through masses offered, prayers, sacrifices, indulgences. These are ways that we can assist them. And do not forget this, even if while they're in purgatory, they can help us. They cannot help themselves, but they can help us, and they will help us even more when they get to heaven. And we have great reason to believe, through Milton's fervent living of his Catholic faith, that he died in God's grace, that he will have an eternal reward in heaven. I want to end with a note from, or a connection with St. Francis. One of Milton's dear friends in this life was a man, Brother Francesco Stella, who was in the Franciscans and I believe had to leave because of the changes happening in the church. And so he was at least a third order Franciscan. And from Brother Francesco, who preceded him some 10 years ago, I believe, in death, he loved to repeat the saying of St. Francis. It's the motto of the Franciscan order, Pax et bonum. And often, when I was done with a conversation with Milton on the phone or in person, he would say, Pax et bonum. Often he shortened it to P&B. And so on this day that we lay him to rest, I also say to you, Pax et bonum. May the peace of God be with you. Yes, even in times of this sorrow and difficulty, but may the peace of God be with you. May the goodness of his grace be with you. And I think Mr. Milton Nelson would also be saying the same to us today. Pax et bonum, peace and good. Eternal rest granted to him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and all of the souls of the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.